Good morning, everybody. Hope you're all doing well. My name's Aaron. If you don't know me, I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and excited to continue this series, We Can Do More Together. We heard from Pastor Dave last week, and we told you we're going to be really intentional last week and this week of really promoting our children's ministry, our students' ministry, and the need that's there, and the call there is for all of us as a church family to step up in investing in the next generation and carrying them to Jesus. So again, Ben said earlier, it's not a guilt trip, but it's really an opportunity for us to express a need that's in the church and a moment where you can ask the question, why wouldn't I step in and fill this need? I was gripped a few weeks ago by this story that broke in the news. If you didn't hear about it, you must be living in a cave or something. This story broke in Thailand, okay, where there's a soccer team. They had just finished a game, and the coach, I think he's like 25 years old, which maybe this is why this decision was made, decided to go spelunking after a game one day and explore some caves in Thailand. And so you heard the story. They go into the cave, and as they're in there, the flood waters rise in the caves, and they get trapped in the cave, and they're in there for like a few weeks, a crazy story. And so every day, some different news would break about what was going on in there. And it just made you really think, like, what is going on in the minds of those kids in that cave, right? How scary that must have been in that moment. They didn't know if anyone was coming to rescue them, if anyone was even able to get to where they were. And you can just imagine what was going on in their minds, in the coach's mind, as there they are trapped in this cave. And then stories begin to come out about how there's people coming from all over the world to try to figure out how they're going to rescue these kids that are in the caves. And so they're going down, they're scuba diving through the caves, right? Trying to figure out how they're going to pull these kids out of this cave. A crazy story. And I believe it was July 10th. The world kind of took like this big sigh of relief, right, as every one of those soccer players and the coach was rescued safely from that cave. Now, it was actually probably a few hours later I saw this pop up on the internet. There was a little comic that was created to depict all that had gone on in this time where this soccer team, the Wild Boars, had been trapped, and how the world had come together to figure out a way to rescue them. And so an artist created this picture, okay? And each different animal, person, image depicts somebody or a group of people that had come together to rescue these kids. You can see the boars swimming in the middle, which is the soccer team. And there's different animals there depicting the cave divers. There was a dog unit. There was like drillers. There's all kinds of different groups that had come together. There was climbers, right? You can see Iron Man up there. Even he got involved in the rescue efforts. But every animal, right, represents a country around the world. So you had Thailand, England, Belgium, Australia, China, Japan, Sweden, Myanmar, Laos, the United States, all of these countries, all of these different people with different backgrounds, different abilities and skills and gifts, coming together from all over the world with one end in mind, and that was to rescue the soccer team that was trapped in the cave. What an incredible picture of humanity that is. What an incredible picture that should be of the church. Now, what is it that brought all of these people together? This was a small event, 13 people at stake. A small event in comparison to all that's happening in the world. Why is it that it drew attention from all over the world to this very spot in Thailand? Well, it's because of what was at stake. There was life on the line. The lives of 12 kids and a coach was on the line. And because life was on the line, people came together from all over the world to rescue them, even putting their own lives at stake. I've been thinking a lot about the story and the picture that it should be of the church. And we talk about this idea of together we can do more. But the reality is, when we step back as a pastor, staff here at the church, we see this glaring need in our body, in our family here at East Swamp. And so many of you have stepped up, stepped into areas that you weren't comfortable, right? We heard that story last week from the Nicholsons. They weren't comfortable, but they heard this need and they stepped in. Right? So many of you have jumped into areas of need, and yet this huge hole remains in one of our ministries here at East Swamp. It pains me. It pains me to see Missy have to come up here on a Sunday morning to make an announcement. Because every time Missy, our children's director, comes up here to make an announcement, she starts by saying, I know you don't like to see me up here because every time I'm up here, I need to do what? Yeah, ask for help. We all know it, right? Every time she comes up here, I know you don't like to see me up here because I'm asking for something or I'm asking for help. I'm going to be honest, it's frustrating. It's frustrating as being just a part of this family to hear that. Missy came up here a few weeks before the summer began, and she made a similar announcement that Jerry made today that she needed 16 adults. 16 adults to step up and step into the lives of our youngest ones in our family here at East Swamp. 16. She communicated this to 400 of us. And this morning, there's a sign out there saying that two classes had to combine because there's not enough adults. 2 weeks ago, she almost had to cancel a class because there was no adults to serve our children on a Sunday morning. She needed 16. There's at least 400 of us here on a Sunday morning. Why? I started asking, why? Why is that? Is it because we don't realize what's at stake? And I started thinking about the whole situation in the caves in Thailand. Why? How could they attract people from all over the world, all these different kinds of people? Because life was on the line. Is it because we don't realize what is at stake in the lives of our littlest ones that are running around here on a Sunday morning? I came across this quote. Actually, my wife Kelsey shared it with me, and it's one of those quotes that like messes you up in a good way. And I want to share it with you this morning because I think it speaks to what is at stake in the lives of our babies, our children, our students here at East Swamp. This is a quote from C.S. Lewis in a book called The Weight of Glory. And he writes this: there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, civilizations, these are mortal, and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. This does not mean that we are to be perpetually solemn. We must play, but our merriment must be of that kind which exists between people who have from the outset taken each other seriously. No flippancy, no superiority, no presumption. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Like, if you think about that quote every time you wake up in the morning, that'll mess you up. Every conversation you have today, every person you come in contact with today, is an immortal being. And C.S. Lewis says there's two options in eternity: immortal horrors, an eternity separated from God, or everlasting splendor in the presence of Almighty God. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Every person we come in contact with Many of them, their life, their eternal life hangs in the balance. Immortal horror or everlasting splendor. Church, right now there are about 40 little immortals running around downstairs, being rocked in the nursery. Lives on the line, eternity on the line. How are we as their church family going to respond? I know last week Pastor Dave was in Nehemiah, right? And he started to draw out some of the things he saw in the book of Nehemiah. Now, Nehemiah was all about building this wall, building it back up. He realized, he saw the problem. He stepped in. The people stepped in to fix the problem. Everyone that they needed to fix the wall was right there with them. That didn't mean they were experts in building the wall. Right? There were jewelers. There were musicians. Nehemiah himself was a cupbearer. Right? They weren't specializing in wall building, but everyone they needed was there to build this wall. And you heard Pastor Dave say at the end, and because they were faithful to rebuild, it changed the way a generation saw God. Are we willing to do the same thing? Are we willing to step up and step into places where we are not specializing in? Are we willing to step up and be uncomfortable in an effort to carry our little ones, our elementary school students, our middle school and high school students to Jesus? Are we willing to step up and step into their lives and carry them to Jesus? There's this incredible story you find in three of the four Gospels in the New Testament. You find it in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And I wanted to share this story with you this morning because it's a story where we see people quite literally carrying someone else to Jesus, and I think there's a lot we can learn from it. So I want you to turn to Mark 2 this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark 2. If you don't have your Bibles, you have your phone, turn to Mark 2. I want you to see these are God's words. These are not Aaron's words. They're not important because I'm saying them. They're important because God said them and he gave them to us so that we might be taught, corrected, trained in righteousness. So turn to Mark 2. We're going to look at just the first few verses of Mark 2. A really incredible story that maybe you've heard before. Mark says this in chapter 2 of his gospel. When Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, you've probably heard this story before, especially if you grew up in the church. You've heard this story probably a number of times. And you probably heard it as a story of four friends who carried one of their other friends to Jesus because he needed help. Now, you can check this on your own. I've read the story in Matthew. I read it in Mark. I read it in Luke. Actually, Mark gives us the most detail. In none of those Gospels will you ever see that these four men were this paralyzed man's friends. You never see that in a single one of the Gospels. So, we don't know. I guess you can assume that they're friends, but you don't read that they're friends. And on top of that, I think we need to even start looking at the paralyzed man a little bit different. The paralyzed man, the word for the bed he is lying on is krabatos, which means pallet or camp bed. This is the kind of bed that a homeless person would sleep on. Okay, so you read this story, and if you just read it for what it is, right here, the details Mark gives us, four guys, for all we know, random guys, carrying what appears to be a homeless, paralyzed man to Jesus. That's interesting. That's a little different than how we usually hear it taught. four men carrying a homeless, paralyzed man to Jesus. Now, I just want to, for a second, think about this. These guys go through a lot of work to get this guy to Jesus. I would imagine that these four men, in one way or another, have experienced Jesus. Because why else would you go through all of this work to get him to Jesus unless you experience who Jesus was and what he does? And the truth is, people that experience Jesus carry other people to Jesus. And we need to remember that if we have experienced Jesus, then it is our responsibility. We should have this urge within us to carry other people to Jesus. So here they are carrying him to Jesus. Four men seeing another man in incredible desperation. Nothing in him is going to be able to get into Jesus. Everything prevents him. If he's homeless, then he financially is unable to get to Jesus. Most likely relationally unable to get to Jesus. Physically unable to get to Jesus. Everything in him is keeping him from Jesus. And along come these four men and pick him up. We don't even know if they picked him up by his own will or not. Pick him up and carry him to Jesus. So here they are, they're carrying him, and they get to the house where Jesus is. And there are so many people here listening to Jesus preach the word that they're spilling outside into the street. They decide, oh, we got to get this guy to Jesus no matter what. No group of people, no matter how big, is going to keep them from getting this man to Jesus. So we don't know the conversation they have, but they arrive at the conclusion that the best thing they could do is climb up on the roof. And so that's what they do. Now, it wouldn't have been crazy for them to get on the roof. The houses were smaller. There was usually stairs actually leading to the roof. It was like living space of their homes. So it wouldn't have been crazy for them to carry him onto the roof. Where it becomes crazy is when they start digging through the roof. They weren't going to let the group of people stop them from getting this man to Jesus. They weren't going to let a barrier like a roof keep them from getting this man to Jesus. And they start digging through it. It's in these moments where I wish we could see more of Jesus' personality come out, right? There he is, he's preaching, and it says, right above him, they start digging. 2 weeks ago, Tony was up here preaching, and it started raining like crazy, right? Started raining like crazy. I was sitting in the back, and I thought, how is Tony not being distracted by the noise of the rain pelting these windows? Here we have Jesus preaching, and right above him, the ceiling is falling in on top of him. And as far as Mark tells us, Jesus is unfazed by what's going on. And then something crazy starts to happen. The roof starts to fall in, and this man starts to get lowered in. I want you to remember, when you read the Bible, set aside parables where Jesus tells us this is a story to tell you something about something else. These things in God's word really happened. There was a moment in history where legit there were four men digging a hole through a ceiling and dropping another man down. This really happened. Put yourself in the shoes of the people involved here. Could you imagine? You're paralyzed. A homeless, paralyzed man getting lowered through the ceiling. How embarrassing would that be? Now your situation is on display for everyone at the party to see, and you can't do anything about it. When you can feel empathy for this guy and put yourself in his shoes, it makes Jesus' response even sweeter. Put yourself in his shoes. Put yourself in the shoes of the four standing up on the roof. They just did like a little holy breaking and entering. Right? They just busted up someone's roof. I guarantee that there were a few people in that party who were not happy about what was going on, covered in roof material at the moment. Right? Probably yelling up to these guys. No matter the oppression they were experiencing in this moment, nothing was going to stop them from getting this man to Jesus. Put yourself in their shoes. Anytime you read stories in scripture, put yourselves in the shoes. These are real people, a real moment in history. And you know how Jesus responds? Mark responds Mark tells us that when this man was lowered in, this is Jesus' response. When Jesus saw, what's the next word? Their faith. When Jesus saw their faith, not his faith, the man laying on the pallet in front of him, when Jesus saw their faith, the four men that just busted up the roof, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He saw their faith. And here Jesus does far more than just heal the man, right? Because Jesus realizes the problem in this man's life is something far deeper than just being physically paralyzed. His problem extends beyond this world because, again, this man is no ordinary man. He is an immortal. And without his sin being dealt with, he is an immortal horror. His sin had to be removed, which only Jesus could do. And why does it appear that Jesus not only heals but saves this man? Because of their faith. Sometimes Jesus does this. Sometimes Jesus acts in a person's life because of another's faith. Let's remember that story. Right now, there are a couple hundred babies. If you add up all the babies, preschool, elementary, middle school, high school children that come into any of our ministries throughout the week, there's a few hundred. A few hundred babies, preschoolers, elementary school students, middle school, high school students as part of our family here at East Swamp Church. And they're not just ordinary humans, but opportunities of everlasting splendor. And right now, many of them sit helpless and paralyzed in sin, spiritually indifferent on their own. And with eternal life on the line, you and I know that the only one that can do anything about their situation is Jesus. Only Jesus can heal us, can heal them of their sin. So we must determine to do whatever it takes to carry them to Jesus, even if it means busting up a roof. Even if it means putting aside your comfort for a Sunday morning and sitting in one of these humorously small chairs for an adult. To get on their level, to carry them to Jesus. Even if it means jumping into and putting your life on the line in a high school dodgeball game. Even if it means having your Sunday's best spit up on in the nursery. Even if it means losing your sanity and signing up for middle school ministry. Whatever it takes, we must be determined, no matter what the obstacle, to carry them to Jesus. But we're not going to do it until we see that eternity is at stake. We have to admire the characteristics of these four guys that carried this paralyzed man, right? They cared for this man. They had to have cared for him that they would carry him there. They believed that Jesus could do something about his situation, right? And many of us, we're on board with those things. We'd say, if I asked you, do you care about the kids here at East Swamp Church? We'd say, absolutely. Do you think that Jesus can save them from the paralyzation? Is that a word, paralyzation? It is now. Do you think that Jesus can save them from being paralyzed by sin? Absolutely. But these four men didn't stop there. They didn't stop there. They did something about it. They didn't stop there, and neither can we. They didn't simply just pray about it. It's good for us to pray about these things. But they did more than just pray about this man's situation. They put hands and feet to their prayers and carried him to Jesus and didn't stop, no matter what the obstacle, because they had experienced Jesus and they wanted this man to experience Jesus as well. Church, we have been commissioned. I'll go as far as calling it a great commission. That we work together to carry those who are spiritually indifferent outside these walls and within these walls to Jesus. I have a video I want to share with you of one of those little immortals that's running around downstairs right now, hopefully in his classroom with leaders. This is my son, Levi. This is one of the videos he created this week, and I want you to see it.
Ugh. Trying that my muscle is really strong, Dad. Ugh. 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 Okay. Now it's time for the push-up. Ugh.
And we're done. Hope you liked it. See you next time.
I didn't teach him those push-ups. I don't know where he got that. But I want you to see that because Levi is the biggest goofball. But Levi's eternity is hanging in the balance. Levi, for the first time this week, I've never heard him do this before. I could be wrong. Levi, for the first time this week, memorized a Bible verse. He was at soccer camp. He memorized Ephesians 2, 13 and 14a. Imagine him saying it in his voice. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. My little five-year-old said that. My five-year-old knows the gospel. But our kids, my kids, too often are spiritually indifferent to it. And they need someone to carry them to Jesus. And I know that's my responsibility as a dad, but I'll tell you what. Levi will hang on the words of any other adult that's not his mom or dad. Levi hangs on the words of the middle school and high school students that have invested in his life. We as a church family need to come alongside of our little ones, our babies, our preschoolers, our elementary school students, middle school, high school students that are spiritually indifferent. And carry them to Jesus. My prayer is that there's a lot more than 16 of us that are willing to do that. That's what we've been called to, church. We've been commissioned after experiencing Jesus to carry others to him outside of these walls. And I'll tell you right now, there is an incredible opportunity inside these walls to do just that. And my prayer is that we would respond to this call, understanding what's at stake. There'd be so many adults pouring into our ministries that we never have to hear Missy come up here again and say what she always has to say. Because so many people have stepped up and stepped into the lives of the next generation. So that each baby, each child, each student in this church has a loving, consistent adult in their life who is carrying them to Jesus. This is what we've been called to. Eternity hangs in the balance. As you go out this morning, you have those cards on your seat. I would love for you to fill those out. Even if you have just the slightest interest in stepping up and stepping into one of these ministries, fill that out, take it out, talk to someone out there at the tent. But my prayer is that there would be such an incredible response that we wouldn't even know what to do with everybody in these ministries. Let's pray. God, you are so good to us. When we think about that story of that paralyzed man, the reality is that we were the ones paralyzed in sin. And apart from your son Jesus dying on the cross, we would remain paralyzed in sin and become immortal horrors separated from you for all eternity. That's what we deserve. But you are so good to us that you sent your son Jesus. While we were far off. to shed blood so that we could be drawn near and experience peace and everlasting splendor with you. God, you are so good to us. We thank you for the salvation that you have given us through Jesus. And God, we pray that as those who have experienced Jesus, we would be overwhelmed with this urge to carry others to you as well. Whether it be in our neighborhoods, whether it be at work, whether it be at school, whether it be right here in this place with our children and students, God, we pray that you would move in our hearts with this longing to carry others to you, knowing what's at stake. God, we pray that you would move in incredible ways in our lives and the lives of our children and students here, that others might look in and see something different in the church. See this family who longs to carry others to the foot of the cross where salvation's found. We pray all these things in the sweet name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. So again, make sure you take those cards if you're willing to check it out, find out, get your questions answered out at the tent. We'll see you all next week.